Studying Luke 17, we're now in verse 36. Two men shall be in the field, then one shall be taken and the other left. This is one of several scriptures that the people that believe in the rapture use. And so I want to read, just for those of you who don't know, a definition of the rapture. And this is from some Christian.
The word not in the Bible.
I know.
But it comes from somewhere, I suppose.
And this is the first, you just read my, it says right here, the word rapture does not occur in the Bible.
Imagine that.
The term comes from a Latin word meaning a carrying away or a snatching away. The concept of carrying off or the rapture of the church is clearly taught in Scripture, which it isn't, but we'll give them that for now. The rapture of the church is the event in which God snatches away all believers from the earth in order to make way for his righteous judgment to be poured out on the earth during the tribulation period. The rapture is described in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. God will resurrect all believers who have died, give them glorified bodies, and take them from the earth, along with all living believers, who will also be given glorified bodies at that time. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel and will the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Excuse me. And so will we be with the Lord. Now, the rapture will involve an instantaneous transformation of our bodies to fit us for eternity. We know that when he appears, Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The rapture is to be distinguished from the second coming. At the rapture, the Lord comes in the clouds to meet us in the air. At the second coming, the Lord descends all the way to the earth to stand on the Mount of Olives, resulting in a great earthquake followed by the defeat of God's enemies. The doctrine of the rapture was not taught in the Old Testament, which is why Paul calls it a mystery. Now revealed. Listen, I tell you a mystery, for we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed or transfigured in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. The rapture of the church is a glorious event we should all be longing for. We will finally be free from sin. We will be in God's presence forever. There is far too much debate over the meaning and scope of the rapture. This is not God's intent. Rather, the rapture should be a comforting doctrine, full of hope. God wants to encourage one another with these words. Now, the problem with the rapture is it's not really in the Bible. What's in the Bible, well, we studied looked at a bunch of scriptures yesterday. Let's go to the one that the one that's our proof text. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. We would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will...
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14.
We're now in verse 14, yeah. For we, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep or are dead in Jesus will be bring with him. God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent nor go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with us from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, so far, it sounds like maybe the rapture has some merit. Let's go to 2 Peter and see what he's really talking about. Well, no, let's go to Acts. We got to go to Acts first. Acts 1 or 2.
He just kind of throws that in there, it looks like.
What?
Brotherly love. I just look a little bit of the context before he starts that. Walk honestly, do this and that. And then he goes into don't be ignorant about the dead.
What chapter of Acts?
Chapter 1. This is when Jesus is the last words to, it's the ascension. Chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for me, for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in this his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in a like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So, there's no question that this is going to happen. There's no question that if we who are alive at the time of the end shall rise up to meet him in the air. But this whole thing about the rapture says you're going to rise up to meet him in the air, then you're coming back down with him. And part of this comes from this issue that in the English language, or in most Western languages, you cannot understand eternity. Eternity in the word in Hebrew and the word in really in Greek too, but it doesn't mean a long, long, long time. It means no time. And so the idea that we're going to go up and down and up and down is the yo-yo. But when we rise up to meet him in the air, it's the end. So let's look at that in 2 Peter. Did you ever go to a church where they taught the rapture, John?
Me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I lived in a household where they taught the rapture.
Were you
one of
the teachers?
No, my parents were very much into that.
Oh.
Your mother and I, when she would come over, we talked about this just about every day.
Yeah.
All right. Chapter 3, 2 Peter. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the whole works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now, this is going to happen. The seventh angel is going to stand and said, the mystery of God is finished, time shall be no more. And in a split second, at the speed of thought, the heavens and everything, every universe, every planet, every sun, it's just going to be dissolved in an instant. But at just seconds, I believe, before this happens, we will rise up to meet him in the air. And so this idea of rising up to meet him in the air has always been taught in the church. But the idea of coming back down again to hang around on earth for 1,000 years is what is strange to...
Isn't that the when we reign with him, isn't that what it says? When we come back down?
Oh, we reign with him now. Yeah, I don't. But they misuse that scripture too.
But it is in there.
Huh?
It's in Revelation, isn't it? That we will reign with.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But my point is, the only reason that this is so critical to me, it's why we're called Trinity. It's the idea that we're not going to get better, and things aren't going to get right on earth. Things aren't going to be smooth and sailing, and when we're going to be kings on earth, like some of the denominations, they even give you you're going to be king over this country.
Or stars.
Huh?
Or certain stars.
No, that's a different one. But the point of it is that God is preparing a bride. And the only purpose of everything, time and space, is to test, to see whether that we would be tested in the same way Christ was, so that we are without spot and wrinkle, so that we live by faith alone. And we as a body then will rise up to meet him in the air, and everything below us and everything that we can possibly perceive with the senses is dissolved at the speed of thought behind it. Now, I've got a picture in my office of the first black hole that was ever known about. It was taken by one of the, I guess, Hubble. And that was, 1980-something or something like that. And Crystal, when she worked for the Morning News, brought me that picture because I talked to her about this a lot. But they found out since then there are millions of black holes. And the black holes, the gravity is so intense inside that black hole that it not even light can escape. But I want you to imagine, the scriptures in Isaiah talk about the heavens are being rolled up like a scroll. Well, that's what's happening all over the universe. The black holes are rolling the heavens up like a scroll. And then when it's declared the mystery of God is finished, time shall be no more, then it all, boom. Now, again, we're named Trinity because of that hydrogen bomb that I witnessed that dissolved before my eyes an island. And it didn't destroy it, it was though it never existed. And that's what I'm trying to get us to see, instead of see and have some urgency about faith of having your garment not spotted by any aspect of the flesh. And that's why this experience is what I witnessed in my conversion experience. And that's why we're called Trinity, because Trinity is the name of the first atomic bomb. The hydrogen bomb that I was at was called Poplar, but that didn't sound very good. So. We're named after the first atomic bomb, was named Trinity.
And now, the thing that got me about all this was reading those scriptures that say the end times were already happening at the time Peter says.
Yeah,
the end times are now. And the tribulation is now.
Right.
And so that's like sort of pulls the rug out from the whole concept.
Well, it's just
pre-tribulation rapture.
What it does, as I talked about yesterday, it causes you to be able to continue your life. And just to be a normal person in the world, except you're a Christian now. Now you get involved in politics and you get involved in all this other crap. And every time you do, you put a spot on your garment. And I just pray that you all here, I can't do anything about the world, but I pray that each one of you will see that. That's why if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the love there is a sneaky word. It just means give importance to anything in the world. If any man love the world, agapeo, not agape, verb, just meaning any giving importance. If any man love the world or the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that should scare the crap out of you. But the fear of Lord here and there, in that example, is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there's a whole bunch of Bible verses, and I'm just going to read some of them.
I'm going to make a comment so I can get it out of my head. This rising up to meet him in the air, this rising up has to be something different than what it sounds like, because there's no safe place. If the heavens are being rolled up as well as the earth.
But we won't, it'll be just... There's no safe place, but we're taken up. This perceptible time before that happens. That's why it talks about, that's what the scripture we just read in Luke. There are two in a bed, one is taken, the other's left.
What I hear him say is that we're outside of time, outside of this whole somehow.
Yeah, we're outside of time. We're viewing it from the top up, from the top down, not the bottom up.
Well, rather than in time and being in this whole black hole thing or whatever.
Well, part of the scripture where it says, tells all this stuff, it says, nevertheless, but we, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found. And it doesn't say in him, that's one of those prepositions, found of him.
Same thing.
Well, a little different. We talk about that a lot. In him, of him. Anyway, of him, but there's a place that's of him or in him that's different than just our physical bodies going up into the air and the clouds and hanging out or whatever that.
The place is eternity. The new Jerusalem. The new land. The new earth, if you will. The new Jerusalem. Eternity. That's the place. That's where our real sense is now. And it should be, all your senses should be. That's why your speech be seasoned with salt. So the component of eternity is in everything you do. Let bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If any man speak, let him speak. It's from the oracle of God. That's all of these are about this location of sphere where we are. Our bodies are still hanging around because the test isn't finalized. But the real you should be and never leave the New Jerusalem. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't there a verse that says something about, something like,
grasped it, but it's something like put off immortality.
Yeah, put off.
Off.
Put well, off mortality and be clothed with immortality.
Mortality, I'm yeah. sorry. And here it says, one man shall be taken and one
left.
Would not be the spiritual man taken, the body is left?
No.
No.
No, no. There's two different units of being. Husband and wife in a bed together.
Oh, okay.
One's taken, the other's left. That's why it says, you may be found of him. Well, let's read it again. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heaven, new earth. Verse 12. Looking for and hasting. Hasting is causing the day of the Lord to come by your obedience now. That's what hasting word. That's what that word means. It's the same. That's why we didn't study that. But that's why it says that Noah condemned the world with his obedience. We bring about the end by our obedience. Hasting. Now this is why it's so critical that in your world you talk to people about the emptiness and futility of whatever they're doing so that there's a chance for them to hear in their poverty. I'm not saying go on a street corner. That's not what I'm saying. It's you go into your world making disciples. All right. I'm going to read these scriptures. And we're going to go a little over time. The one we just... This isn't King James, so it's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. This is the ones they justify the rapture from. Then we which are alive... 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We just read it earlier. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Luke, I tell you that in that night, in Luke 17, 34 and 37, there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Revelation 3, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Mark 13, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Revelation 20, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. All these scriptures they use to justify their interpretation.
Well, that last one is the yo-yo part, right? They bound him 1,000 years, and then what happened?
Then you reign on earth. You're coming back to earth, and then you're given to be kings and stuff.
Was that what it
says? No, it says this. But they mix these different scriptures up.
But I mean, it seems like that's the one they hang their hat on, as far as going up, coming back down.
And that's Revelation 20.
Revelation 20.
No, not 20, it isn't. Anyway, let me finish these, and then we'll go back there. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Daniel 12. Verse 1 and 2, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. and thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Watch there in Matthew 24. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. Same in Matthew 24. And he shall send the angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Luke 12. Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Matthew 24 again. For the lightning, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even out of the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, then the rest of these are just real stretches. And to wait, Romans 10, and that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe that in thine heart he is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 Thessalonians 1, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Anyway, it goes on and on about these. Anytime there's anything about the wrath, I say it's the rapture. Do you understand how important this is? If you believe that something else has to happen before you, before this ends, then without any, the fear of the Lord will be delayed. They've got these charts that they sell them and all over the place, and it tells you exactly what has to happen, and the temple has to be rebuilt, and the blah blah blah, and so it excuses that there's no fear of the Lord because it's going to happen back up in this time. So this is why this is so critical. It could happen this next second. It has nothing to do with time. It has to do with our obedience. That's why I'm spending so much time on this issue. If you think that there is time, then you've got time to play on earth, to plan out, and to do all this stuff. Then you'll find a place to repent just before it happens. No. Could come at your next breath. That's why it's so critical. It's your mind that spots the garment. That's why the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. What is that obedience? It's your emptiness. Amen?
Yeah.
You can't fill it up with anything. But the mind is what spots the garment. That's what you have to see. And repentance is what releases that power of God. That's what the meaning of obedience is. Amen? I think I went on a rant. But please, you don't have time to do anything. That's why you enter the rest today. You enter the Sabbath now. You exhort one another daily while it is still called today to enter that rest and put aside everything else. Any response? Do you understand? If you really believe that the end could be your next breath, then obedience follows automatically because it's the fear of the Lord. Now that fear then is transformed into not wanting to do anything that would be out, not of Him. But it's the beginning of wisdom. Otherwise, you'll just put the name of God in all your thoughts, which is just asinine. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else?
I want to get rid of the weights that tie us to this world.
Amen. But that's what that hasting means, that we read in 2 Peter. It means you're hasting, you're causing it to come into, you're causing this to transpire by your obedience.
And it's, that's sort of linked to the, you know, the filling up the suffering.
Fill up in that which is lacking in the body's sake. That is the church.
Same kind of an idea.
It's the only reason that suffering can be sanctified. Because you know it's for something that doesn't have anything to do with you except in a very communion sense or community sense. Unfortunately, for me and for some, I wish that it just, I wish that it was just my obedience. Because I, as we were talking about, I go live in a cave when I don't have any temptation. But it's us, our Father. When he says he goes to prepare, in my Father's house are many mansions, that's a dumb cry. It's to my Father's house are many seders. He's gone to prepare a place, but he demands your obedience. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Right.
And that obedience can't be achieved by your works, only by your emptiness.
We're willing to repent of anything other than faith. Take it, big guy.